Welcome to the Abundant Woman Collective podcast. Do you want to grow in your faith and have an intimate relationship with Jesus? Do you wake up with big, ambitious goals only to be overwhelmed and frustrated when you're way too busy and forgot to prioritize your time with Him again? Hey, I'm Sam, and I too was someone who craved a deeper relationship but was too busy to make it happen. I felt overwhelmed at trying to fit Him in and wished I could be confident in my faith and identity. I wanted to read the Bible and actually understand what I was reading, but I kept telling myself that I didn't have the time, the know-how, or the discipline or tools to make it happen. Until I found a little secret to get rid of the Christian checklist. In this podcast, you will find biblical truth, hope-filled conversations with women who are right where you are, and all of the practical tools to implement so that you will be able to deepen your relationship with Jesus. So grab your coffee, Bible, and pen, and let's dig in. Hey friends, welcome to another episode of the Abundant Woman Collective podcast. I'm Sam, your host, and today we are here with Jenna, Jessica, and Stephanie, also known as the Pastor's Wife Tell All, and we're going to have so much fun. We're talking about friendship and community, but first I want to dig into this fantastic trio of friendship and how did y'all meet? How did it start? Tell us the story.
All right. Well, my name is Stephanie.
Jessica.
I'm Jenna.
And the three of us have a crazy fun story. So these two, Jessica and Jenna, they probably began their friendship back in about 2016. They had served at a church together and all of a sudden realized like, hey, maybe she could be my friend. Maybe we should go get coffee or do some things together. And they hit it off. And they always say that it was the first person they felt comfortable being fully themselves, like act stupid and funny and all of that silliness without feeling judged or, you know, that something was wrong with them.
Yeah.
And then in 2019, I had been living in this city for about 2 years, but I had not met them yet. And I felt the Lord speaking to me about doing something with women that would bring the church together. Like, I really felt a passion about divisiveness within churches to be done away with, and that we would be the body of Christ. And so I remember, you know, sometimes when God tells you something, you think you have to make it happen. So I thought, well, what better way? Let's do a women's conference. That sounds fun. But I thought, I don't want it to be my church's women's conference. I want the community to come together. And so I started looking for other women and other churches to come alongside me to do this conference. And I had one pastor's wife at a different church say, hey, do you know who Jessica Taylor is? She is good at everything. And I'm like, well, where is she? Bring her to me. And I remember the first time we talked on the phone, it was probably a solid hour and it just felt right. I got off the phone and I told my husband, oh my goodness, I really want her to be my friend, like for real friend. And then it began to be a friendship as we were preparing for this conference. And then she introduced me to Jenna. And it was funny because we started just chatting on Instagram. I don't even know who started it or what, but we were sending little videos back and forth to each other as we were getting ready in the morning. And I was like, oh, tell me how you do your makeup like that or whatever. It was just like fun little conversations. And then I know one day it came to my mind and I know it was the Lord, a podcast. And I thought, oh my gosh, these girls would be so much fun to do something like that with. But I had mentioned it to Jessica first and then Jenna, just like, hey, you know how like none of us feel like we fit the mold of like a pastor's wife? You know, she's prim and she's proper in our minds. That's how she is. She never has problems in her marriage. Her children are perfect. All of that. None of us fit that. We've all felt like outside of the box, something different, too loud, too much, all of that. And I said, what if we did a podcast called The Very Worst Preacher's Wife? And they were like, I'm in. But as we continued to really talk about all this, Jessica was like, no, I got it. It's Pastor's Wives Tell All. We're going to talk about everything. We're going to talk about the hard things that nobody wants to talk about. We're going to talk about what really goes on behind the closed doors of our homes. Just we're going to be vulnerable because surely there are other women who need this. And it was funny because this is how God, instead of that conference, which didn't happen because of COVID, it got shut down. This friendship began and this podcast began where we get to pour into other women in ministry and teach them how to unify the church. Because it's funny, you would think pastors' wives, okay. But We are pouring into our husbands and sharing this need to be with other people. And then we are building friendships outside of our church. And even our three churches are from three different denominations. All right. We are three different types of pastors' wives. And our churches have gotten together because of our friendship.
Yeah.
And we see that as a necessity for the body of Christ to be the body. Because right now there's too much division.
Yeah.
And we want to see that change. And that really was the heart that started it all and started this friendship. That has been the most healthy friendship I've ever had in my life.
I love that so much. There's so much. There's so many points that I love. One, the like women, we can sometimes suck, honestly.
Yeah.
And I don't know if like, I don't know, but I'm a pastor's kid. And so I wish you all had that podcast like 20 years ago when my parents were like active in ministry, because my mom's heart was the same way. Like she didn't fit in, right? And she has a story and a life, and you know, her kids aren't perfect except for me. And
feel that, girl.
That in there.
That was good.
But she had the hardest time making friends. And even we've planted churches and done leadership and youth pastor and so there was this like different churches were almost like silos, you know, and like. But we're all Christian women who serve the same Lord, so we can all, it's okay to be friends, guys.
Yeah.
So you guys literally do that. And I love that. And you're good friends, best friends. That's, which is rare. Yeah. It's rare to have in our 30s, right? We see the Instagram posts and I send them to friends like, this is us. But to have healthy friendships as grownups is really hard.
Yeah.
So what, like, we'll start with the bad side and we'll get to the good side. But what have been some of your challenges or hardships with making friends and friendships as women in ministry?
Yeah, I'm going to go back to my early 20s. And I think that when I was in ministry right when we got married. So got married at 20, we went right into youth ministry practically. And I think like what I always thought and what I learned is that you really can't have close friends within the church that you're at. And, you know, you just didn't know or trust if you did share things, what women would do with that information. Would it come back to bite you, you know? And so I think it was really hard. And there were years where I didn't have true friendship. And then we went to a larger church into my 20s, 30s, and I did find some close friends, and they were within the youth ministry that my husband led. But I will say that for me, I was not super great with women. Like I had my close friends, but I didn't as a whole, I wasn't really keen on being around a bunch of women. I just kind of was judgmental and like brought that high school mentality of women are judgy, women, even though I was being judgy, women are judgy, women, you know, they're just boring and they're catty and gossipy. And I was like, I don't want to be a part of that, you know, so I'm okay with my close little group of friends. But then God really had to change my heart for women and gave me a love for women in my late 20s, early 30s through what I do in Africa. He was like, I want you to teach the women. And I was like, I love those women, but I don't know if I have a lot to say, you know, to the women as a whole. But God really transformed my heart. And then I think he was just transforming my heart for a lot of reasons. But for one was to change my heart so I could open up and truly have lasting godly friendship later on in my life, because sometimes we have to wait and it's hard. But I do think that for me, it was more me than it was the other women.
Yeah, I think, well, for me, it was a lot to do with me as well. I was not vulnerable. And my whole life, I have always known how to make friends. You know, I would become what I needed to be a friend with whoever. And it came from like a place in my heart where I truly just wanted to know people and I wanted to be their best friend. You know, like that was my heart behind it. But I somehow put on a little mask. Oh, well, I can fit in with this crowd or that crowd or whatever. And so here I am, this city girl who grew up in Tampa. in our first ministry was in a little tiny town in Alabama with two stoplights and 2,000 people. And these people grew up together. They knew each other. They're hunting and fishing and all of the things. And I'm going, can I go shopping somewhere? What, besides the gas station? Like, what's happening? So yeah, I was the weird one coming in. I was different. And I struggled so much with fitting in that place. And then feeling like I needed to somehow change and shift. And somehow that came across, I think, as fake. And then also I felt like I could not be fully myself and share the hard things with people because I didn't want them to think less of my husband or less of me, or what if I accidentally gossiped or something. There was just all of these lies that were spinning through my head, which kept me from being my full, true, crazy self. And anytime I was a little bit crazy, I did feel judged, and that was really hard. I think that we have to be better at accepting people the way they are. If they're quieter, that's fine. Why are we trying to bring them out of their shell so much? If they are a person who is a little bit louder, who has opinions, hey, let's encourage them to speak and preach and teach the gospel. Like, I don't know why we do that to each other, but we do.
So for me, I am the more introverted one of the three of us. And aside from that, I feel like I tend to have like an all or nothing personality when it comes to a lot of different things. But one of those things earlier on, and I'm better at this now, but with friendships in the church, I don't know. I felt like it was more of a people-pleasing mentality for me. Like, I can't be all things to all people. So like, do I even have the time? Like, if I get to know this person and they're wanting to get to know me and I don't have the time to put in, like, what are they going to think of me? Like, what kind of friend am I if I can't be all to them? You know what I mean? And so for me, I was more closed off just with the mindset of, well, what's the point? Like, I can't get close to this person because what if I disappoint them? What if I can't be there for them when they need me? What if I can't, you know, fill in the blank? And so, and just being more introverted, that like just piled on top of that. And so I feel like now I'm in a healthier place where it's like, okay, well, I have to do what's best for me and my family. And so that, you know, if I do have to say no to somebody or if I can't be there for somebody when they need me, just depending on the situation, it's, I don't worry so much about what that person is thinking about me because I know that I'm making a decision that is the what's best for me and my family or whatever it may be. But that was always really, really hard, especially in the church, because I just thought, well, you know, and I had a lot of the same things as Stephanie go through my head of like, you know, I don't want to, like, what if they knew that this was going on in my marriage? Or what if, you know, what if they see the ugly, you know, because I think all of us growing up in church, there was this picture of we keep it all together. We sweep things under the rug and we don't let people see the ugly. And so what will they think if they do?
Yeah, for sure. It's funny because I can see myself in bits of your guys' story as well. But most recently is I live outside of Nashville now, but I'm from California. So I've only been, which we don't like California here, right? So like, yeah, it's a whole, not only do you have, yes, you're moving from like across the country. I didn't know anyone. But one of the things I feared during the transition was like, I have to make friends again. And I felt like I just had like a few of my friends who I could do life with. And I finally got to that place because that's always been like a desire is I want friends to do life with, not just like, I don't want to go to brunch. I want you to come over and our kids can play. Like,
yeah,
those kind of friends, right? Or here's my kid, I have to go to the hospital, or like all of it. And so I felt like I finally had them. And then the Lord was bringing us across cross country where we didn't know anyone. And then it was like, okay, how much of my story do I tell? It's really hard when nobody knows your entire life. Like, so they really don't know you. Yeah. So I almost felt like, which Sam am I doing today? Like, what part of my story? Can you even hold my story? And then I come from a very diverse, cultural, fantastic background to like kind of the ghetto, or like coming from kind of the ghetto to like one of the wealthiest, you know, counties in the nation and very religious and all the things. And I'm like, oh my God, which Sam do we get? How do I be like, I'm not Southern. How do I behave? Sometimes the hood comes out. Sometimes I'm sarcastic, you know? Yeah. And so like, even now, like preaching and teaching here where I live is like, here now it's just, I've gotten to the point where I'm like, here I am. You can take me or leave. Here's parts of my story, whatever. I talk fast, whatever. Like, yeah. Leave it. But it took a lot to get to that point because I didn't want to be rejected. Yeah. I didn't want to be judged. I was already judged just based off of coming from California. So yeah. Like all of those things in your guys' story, I hear. And making friends as a grown-up is like, forget high school. That was high school. This is no joke.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So hard. So what have been some, I guess, tips or encouragement of how to actually like make friends as a grown-up in our 30s and 40s?
Well, I would say don't underestimate the power of praying for help in that. Pray for friends. Pray for godly friends. Pray for friends that you can be your complete and total self around, because that is true friendship. But also, like, if you are more introverted, like I am, you might have to make the first move. And, you know, that's just kind of how it has to be sometimes.
Just send a video on Instagram. That seems to work.
There you go.
Getting ready together. That's the whole thing, right? Get ready with me.
Yeah.
Well, and I love that, like what Jenna just said, because I feel like Stephanie, with her prayers, which she can kind of share her own story on this, but like I believe that Stephanie prayed this friendship into existence, you know, through a lot of tears because of where she came from with a lot of friendship hurt, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're going to share that, Stephanie, but, you know, if you're going to, it'd be a great time now.
Oh, I shall share that. Okay.
Yeah. So I mean, I touched on it a little bit, but I did go through a time where I felt very unseen and very misunderstood. And I knew there was talk behind my back and things like that. And honestly, and I'm not holding anything against those people. I love those people. Like with all my heart, these were friends that I wanted and I still love them so much. But at that time I kept thinking, what am I doing wrong? I'm doing something terribly wrong and I need to know what it is. And when I would try to ask, I remember one particular person, like, what have I done? Oh, it's nothing. We're just different. And then it was left at that. There was no way to fix anything. There was no way to make it right. And so I would spend many hours on my spit up covered carpets, just laying flat on my face, crying and talking to God. And I began journaling and writing prayers of blessings over those who hurt me. And then prayers of, Lord, open their eyes to see that I do want to fix this. And if there's something going on in their life that is causing a block, like take care of that and bring friends to me, the right ones. And it was just, I had to do that over and over and over again. And this was years. So it's not like instantly everything was better. And I think sometimes we are impatient and we want the friends in the community right now. And I get that because I've been there for years. And sometimes God's like, I've got something for you, but you're not ready. And so I don't know that this friendship would have worked back then because I still hadn't learned some of the things that I know now about being myself fully, not trying to be what they wanted me to be, but just being the me that God created and intended for me to be. And I think like now, because of that, we have been completely open with each other. I have told them things I've never told anyone, or like it, the way I think, the way I, you know, things that embarrass me. When I am hurt, I know I can go to them and talk to them about it and they receive it. If I've hurt them, they'll tell me. I'm like, man, I'm so sorry. Like, and we can make it right and we're fine. But I had never experienced it quite like that before.
Yeah. I think that's a big thing, like the prayer and then the comparing. Like, I think for those ladies that are listening, know that, like, please don't compare like your friendships or your lack of friendships to us as you hear us talk.
Right.
Because that's kind of why I wanted Stephanie to, you know, share that. And all of us have in our own ways share that that is, that came years later.
Yeah.
There was a lot of hurt. and pain and tears in the process of God preparing our hearts for the friendship that he had for us in our 30s.
Yeah.
And so just don't compare. And don't compare once you do get those friends thinking that they need to be a certain way of what you see on social media or what you see in other friendships that are surrounding you. It'll be completely unique and different because that's how God created that friendship to be. And so just know that, no comparing. But then for me, I would say be yourself. Like the tip is to find people that you can be yourself with. Mm-hmm. And so like,
I don't have to be just like you.
Right. Oh, and yeah. And that's a great point, Steph. Like we always talk when we're on retreats of get out of the high school mentality. We look for friends that look like us. We look for friends in our 30s and 40s that look like us, that have the same like desires and likes and all of that. And we got to get past that. Yeah. That's not what friendship is. We got to pray and allow God to, you know, give us older friends, mm-hmm. younger friends, same age friends. They need to look all different shapes and sizes and have all kinds of interests. Like we don't need another friend like us. That's too much. That it won't work. We need to look for people that are different than us. And those have been the most beautiful friendships in my life. And I know in theirs as well, when you start looking outside of that high school box that you have kept and brought into your adulthood.
That's so good. That's so true too, because like, okay, you add like women in the church, but then you add a layer of like, I'm a mom or my kids are this age instead of this age. And you want to find people that have the same age, you know? And but I do love the older and the younger. And my heart has always been for the younger, just from like all the ministry. But like the older women, I think, and at the last retreat I had gone to and spoke, I got a chance to get with some like 60, 70-year-old women and just have conversation because we had talked about community and we had talked about, like, I had them pray, youngest person to oldest person, and they laid hands in like both ways. And they were just really honest. Like, I don't feel like I'm needed anymore. Like, I feel like the younger generation doesn't want us. They just have it all together, or they have like the internet to Google it. And then some of the young girls were like, well, I feel like they're too busy, like doing whatever they do to have time for us. And I hate that. Like those are both lies from the enemy that like, not only is it biblical, but it's so wise and comforting to have someone older than me be like, Sam, you're actually not messing this up. Like they'll be fine. Or let me pray for you. Or you know, and then being able to pour into like a single person or like a different season of life than me and be like, hey, I totally get it. Like, this is so hard, but also, you know, there's hope or whatever. Like, it just, that's so, it's so, and they won't like, I also feel like there's seasons of friendship and like you have your core people, right? But then like outer friends, there's seasons, and maybe that's where the preschool mom friendships come in at, or high school. I can only relate it to kids at this point, but you know what I mean?
I would say too, like going back to the being all things to all people, like don't have that mentality because you really can't, like, obviously you can't be all things to all people. You don't have to, you know, have this super tight knit friendship with every single person. You're going to have your four people. Like you're going to have your two or three that you can really pour your heart out to, and not that you can't do that with others, but you're going to have your people, and then you're going to have some other friends who you can still be real with, but everybody needs that couple that they can really, you know, talk about the really hard things with. So,
and something else just came to my mind. So I feel like we count out friendships before anything can even happen because we think, well, what if I get hurt?
Mm-hmm.
That person, I'm not sure, you know, and God has laid them right there and said, here, let's get to know this person. But we're fearful of what could happen. And so we make up things in our head of what's going to happen. And what's funny, and we've talked about this before, Jesus knew 100% that one of his friends in his circle of friends was going to betray him in the worst way possible. And he chose community and friendship anyway. Yeah. And so like, why do we just construct all these things in our head and think, well, I don't want to be hurt. They could betray me. And I get having wisdom with those you are absolutely closest right. with. I'm not saying don't have any wisdom at all, but don't count people out.
Right. Yeah.
When God has clearly like put them into your life.
Yeah,
don't just put up that wall. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
One more. I would say, because you were talking about seasons, I would say when it's time and the Lord is separating the friendship, a lot of times we try to hold on to it. And we talk about this a lot, even within church members. We try to hold on to church members when the Lord is like pulling them away and you're not allowing them to, you're not letting them go. And so I think that's the same thing with friendship. Like God knows your next season in your life. Mm-hmm. And some of us are so like insecure and comfortable, even in a horrible friendship that is not uplifting, but we still rather hold on to them because it is comfortable to us instead of letting go
yeah.
and of a toxic friendship and being alone for a minute and allowing the Lord to bring someone new into your life. And I know I've done that definitely. So that would like holding on way too long when I should have let go. So definitely put up boundaries and allow the Lord to work, because what you don't see is this beautiful flower field of friendships and like different things he's going to show you if you just let go of the weeds.
That's good.
That'll preach.
Another one I just thought of was, we also, we're just going to say it, but we also sometimes, I feel like in friendships, expect our friends to be our God. Don't hear that in a weird way, but we go to our friends for all the things when we should be turning into God for all the things. And then our friends disappoint us and we have hurt and all the, does that make sense?
Yes. Yes. In fact, I always tell people, like, everybody needs themselves a Jessica in their life, because I can't tell you the amount of times that I have gone to her about something and she'll be like, have you talked to God about this yet?
And I'm like,
okay, bye.
Just kidding.
Like, because that's what true friendship should be. You know, like, we know that, like, I know that she is not God. And when, you know, of course we want to do that. We want to go to our friends about things to ask for advice, but until we've gone to the Lord about it first, we really shouldn't, you know, do that. And sometimes God will speak through our friends to us, but that's a good friend right there. When she says, hey, I'm going to need you to talk to this about the Lord first, and then you can come talk to me about it.
Then come back to me.
There you go. Yeah. So that's good.
That is good. Yeah, that's a good friend too. I love that. Okay, so before we wrap up in a few minutes, I want to talk about some things that you guys have upcoming. But can you just take a second to encourage the women that are listening, whether they're hurt, whether they're looking, they're seeking, just encourage them right now or there?
It won't always be this way. So God will bring new things. He will bring growth. He will bring beauty from the ashes. Just keep taking one step at a time. Keep praying for those friends, that community, and just believe that Jesus is for community. He showed us that. So why would he not want that for you in the right timing? So just hang on. Be patient. It's hard. I know.
Step out of your comfort zone, and you make the first move. I think a lot of times we get poor me mentality, and we get really sad and we sit in our feelings way too long when, you know, we're praying so hard for that friendship. But who had to make the first move when Stephanie told our story? It wasn't us. It was her. She had to make the first move, and she was the one. We already had friendship. She had to step out. She didn't know us, knew nothing about us, had never met us in person, and she made the first move. So you have to get out of your comfort zone and do hard things to have a return that is lasting. So please step out. You can do it. There are friends for you. Mm-hmm. And also just that honing in on being patient.
Yeah.
And if you're in a season of where you feel all alone, don't rush a friendship that could be toxic or just try to hang out with anyone.
Yeah.
Wait on the Lord and he will provide in due time. So just wait.
Well, it's funny because when you said that about I had to make the first move, but I think some people too, this throws them for a loop. People ask us all the time, like, how do you have the three of us? Is it feel weird for one of you? Does one of you feel like the third wheel? And I could have let that lie really get me down. And at the beginning, I was a little bit like, I'm never going to be as close to them as they are to each other. Like, and I would tell, you know, and I could feel that lie creeping in and like being a little fearful of losing them, that the two of them would just realize they don't need me and they would just kick that third wheel off. But it has not been like that. And I just held on and I said, Lord, like help me to get rid of this thinking that is not true. These are all things I'm creating once again in my mind.
Yeah.
And knowing that this has worked, the three of us.
Yeah.
It's been amazing.
And I would say once you do find those friends that you can be your complete and total self around and you have that your people, thank God for them every day and be a good friend. Because, and Jessica talks about this a lot, like you got to learn to listen and you got to learn to ask good questions, right, Jess? Mm-hmm. And don't expect, you know, it, like the friendship cannot be one-sided is what I'm trying to say. Like you've got to give, you got to take, it's got to be a both-sided thing. Don't just expect for one person to do all the work. Be a good friend because God gave you that friend. So be a good friend.
That's good. I love it. Okay. You have a book coming out soon. Who wants to tell us about this exciting adventure?
Oh my goodness. We're pumped. I think this was early stages of dreaming in this podcast that we had mentioned, like, what about a book? You know, one that's a little different because obviously we're a little different. But and our book is coming out April 30th. I'm not sure when this episode will go out, but it's called Pastors' Wives Tell All, Navigating Real Church Life with Honesty and Humor. And we are going to peel back the, you know, the screen here, the curtain, and you're going to see into our lives a bit more than anything we've shared on the podcast. We actually go much deeper into some stories and some hurt. We want to make a healthier church. And I'm not saying that we can do that. I know that that is God, but we want to be a part of that process of bringing healing and hope to ministry leaders, church leaders, and the church themselves. There's a lot of things we've done wrong. We're going to point out a lot of those things. And And we also are going to give encouragement moving forward of ways we would like to see the church shift. We talk about behind the scenes of marriage, kids, church hurt, like therapy, go into therapy and the stigma on church leaders and why we need it and what that looks like, friendships, community. All of these things are going to be covered. It's like each chapter is its own like encouragement for the church. And so we really hope that this will be a guide for those who are new stepping into church ministry, but also a behind the scenes look for the church, like the church body, so that they understand what we go through, but also understand a little bit more about unhealthy leadership versus healthy, what that looks like, what to be on the watch for, because, you know, we have let in too many corrupt leaders and problems, and these things need to be addressed. So,
yeah,
it's gonna be good. It's also funny, too.
It is funny.
And there's scripture.
You're going to laugh and cry.
It's all of it. Yes. Yeah.
I would expect nothing less.
If they only knew how long it took us to do this podcast.
It's great. Mm-hmm. But it was so good. Before we sign off, where can we find you and stalk you on the social and all the things?
You can find us
at Pastors Wives Tell All, pretty much everywhere. PastorsWivesTellAll.com. Everything about our book is right there on the homepage. And then social media. Everything is at Pastors Wives Tell All.
And it's Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. We feel so young and hip on TikTok. Let me tell you.
I don't know about young, but
I would say Instagram is our favorite. But we also have a Facebook community group for pastors, wives, and other female church leaders. And so if there are women who are looking for friendship, that's actually, and you are a church leader of some type, a woman, we have that community group and it's been very sweet. A lot of women have met each other even in person and have gone for coffee to like, where is everyone from? And they're finding friends and they're sharing the hard, difficult circumstances that they're in and finding encouragement in those. So that's been really cool too.
So fun. Don't mind me joining right now.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, friends, for coming on. I appreciate you and sharing all your advice and wisdom and having a blast with me.
Thank you for having us.
Jinx. Friend, I hope you were blessed by this episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. Before you go, quick things. One, can you follow us on social? I would love to get social with you. Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube all have the username Abundant Woman Co. Come say hi. Also, we have a free Facebook community that has women just like you building community, going after Jesus, and just making connections. Come join us there. I can't wait to meet you. And last, I would love if you could screenshot this episode and share it on your socials for a chance to be featured. Until next time.